نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We now come to marriage customs. Before we discuss what takes place in today's times, we will first discuss the original, what it's supposed to be like. How was it supposed to be? Right? Hazrat Abdurrahman bin Auf radiyallahu ta'ala is amongst those 10 Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala who received the glad tidings of Jannah in this world. The Ashara Mubashara, those 10 Sahaba who received glad tidings of Jannah. So he is one of them. It is reported in a hadith that once Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw a mark on his clothing and asked him what this was. I explained to you that in those days they would use some scent which had some color on it, and generally it was used at the occasion of nikah. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw this mark on him and asked him, hey, what's this? So Hazrat Abdurrahman bin Auf radiyallahu ta'ala commented that he had just made nikah to somebody. His nikah has taken place. Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam wished him well, gave him dua, and he advised him to have a walima. He said to him, "Olim walaw bishatin," that have a walima even if it be with one goat. Now what we must understand, Hazrat Abdurrahman bin Auf radiyallahu ta'ala was a wealthy person, number one. Number two, when they spoke about having a walima with a goat, so it was just one goat, that's it. You take one goat from your flock there and you slaughter it, bride a goat and serve it. So it wasn't, if you say one goat, now it doesn't mean there was sweetmeats first and then samosas and then bhajiyas and then pies and then finger food and then five different salads and then one goat cooked in some type of a curry and kebabs also on the side and after that tea and cakes and all these type of things. It was just one goat. They would just bride that goat and then it was served. Each person took a piece from there and they ate it. And if you know Arab culture, one goat is nothing. There was a ship that was docked, an Arab ship that was docked in Durban for a while. And many Muslim brothers had gone to meet the Arabs on that ship, you know, meet the crew. And the Jamaat brothers were going regularly, going to meet them, etc., giving them dawat, inviting them to the masajid, etc. So on the last night, or one of the last, towards the end of their time here now when they were going to leave, so the Jamaat was taking, you know, brothers from the town were taking food for them, you know, because now they needed halal food, etc. So these people, on the last night or second last night or something, they told the brothers who were coming to see them regularly, they said, look, you all have been entertaining us now all this while, we are going, we want to now give you all a dawat. Right? So the next day, when they went there to eat, so these people had huge platters filled with rice. And on top of the rice was one sheep. Right? Three, four of them, they sit down and polish it. They eat like that. Right? And their sheep also are not big like our sheep. They live in the desert there. Little smaller animals. And they eat like that one sheep. It's not like a big story. It's unlike us, like we have to cook and it is a simple affair. Rice, and they just put this thing on top. Everybody just breaks from there. They eat. So Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him that make walima even if it is with one goat. Even if it is with one goat, but make a walima. In other words, you don't have to make anything big. Just one goat also is enough. Feed the people. Right? Now the thing to reflect upon, as I said to you, that we are going to take this thing in stages, right? Now, if we have to look at our zamana, our era, a boy decides he wants to get married. A girl is found. Proposal takes place. Just to go to see the girl, is a big story now. Right? Set a date, go there, the girl's family will prepare something. Right? Sometime the boy's side will come with the granny and grandfather and maybe one uncle and one auntie and don't know who and who, the brothers and sisters and whatever. And then the boy's side now, or the girl's side, they'll have a few family members of theirs over there. Sometime that girl now has to find one outfit to wear especially for this occasion, right? And then the boy comes and sees the girl. After that he proposes, and the girl accepts, so now we have a match. So then what we have to do now is have an engagement. Now when this match is made, this is the point now, when this match is made, now you got to phone the whole family. If your mother doesn't phone one sister or one brother or something, people take offense. People get offended, right? Thereafter, you go for the engagement. Now you got to select. Now, who are we going to take for the engagement? Because those people told us we can come with 50 people or 40 people. Now, which 40 people are we going to take? Now, if I take that auntie, now this auntie is living in the town, and that becomes a problem. Now, you don't know who to take, who not to take. And then for the engagement also now, certain gifts have to be taken. Then you must take a chain for the girl. They will give some gifts for the boy, right? And you will go there for this engagement party. At this engagement, generally, the custom is that the girl's family wants to now see the boy. They want to see the boy. The aunties, the girl's khalas and foys and whatever, they all want to meet this boy now. Who is this boy? So they'll take him, make him sit down there next to the girl. If there were no deen in them and no parda in them, but today's time even families with parda also, but all these things are overlooked. And they will meet this boy and whatever. Now that's the engagement, right? Now after the engagement, we have to set a wedding date. Now this becomes another problem, because Ibrahim Gaurabaji is booked to go for Umrah, and Muhammad Bai, he's going September holiday, he's going America, and Hanif Bai is doing something else. And now, okay, we got a date now that everybody will be around, but now we can't get the hall that we want, and the particular caterer that we want for that weekend, now we can't get him, he's only available on the other weekend. So this whole thing now, you have to do so many things. It's more difficult than making the barfi for the wedding. So many factors you have to take into consideration. Now how many people we're going to invite, and the whole, everybody needs to come to know. Then now we have to find now one Maulana who is also, you know, a very famous person, because this is, you know, a famous family now, wealthy family. Can't just get any Moli Sahab now, you have to get somebody, you know, who is famous now to make this nikah. Now, even if we have to fly him down from somewhere, right? Or we have to send a car to go and fetch him and come. Now, sometime that girl, she studied in the maktab under this Maulana. She grew up in front of him. Her father reads namaz in this masjid. Whole life this Maulana was good enough for them. He's making imamat in that masjid and all of that. whole life he was good enough for them, but because he is not like a, you know, in the eyes of the people, he doesn't have that like celebrity status. So it's not going to fit in now with the rest of the proceedings. We need to get somebody now, you know, high profile. So we need to pull him from somewhere now. Wherever he is, we have to bring him down and bring him now. We can say, hey, certain so-and-so person performed our daughter's nikah. Right? And in that nikah now, you got to call the whole family now. You have to invite. Make a list. Sure, we never leave out anybody. And if somebody you overlooked, that's another tamasha. Right? Then, for the invitation, I explained to you all the other day, the expenses that goes in the cards and all those type of things. Right? Now, this is all what we do. This is all what we do in today's times. Now, we come back to this hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a sahabi, Hazrat Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala, senior sahabi, given the glad tidings of Jannah, right? One of the Ashara Mubashara. So you think he could be missing namaz, Saraji? You can't be missing namaz. I mean, if he's one of the Ashara Mubashara, he has to be a namazi, five-time namazi, right? Now, he was definitely there for the namaz before his nikah. And he's in Masjidun Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What better place to perform the nikah? And who better to perform the nikah? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? And okay, he didn't even have the time to tell Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he's getting married. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't even know. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam all the time, he's with Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, and he's with Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, and they too didn't inform Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the day Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu is getting married. Why? Why? It was a simple affair. There was no big story. Getting married was not a big story like how we have made it today. We have followed the kuffar culture. Kuffar culture is my big day, man. It's my big day. That girl goes university here, there, the boy goes around half the world and comes, and now it's like a big story. It's a big story, and now we're going to make nikah. So now from 1 year we're preparing first proposal, then engagement, now we're coming to the wedding date. So it's like a big thing. We make a big story out of it. Whereas it wasn't such a thing in the Sahaba radiallahu anhum that hey, certain person getting married, eh? To make sure we're there for the nikah, eh? So and so is getting married, that we can have to be in town. And everybody knows about it, everybody is talking about it. There was nothing of the sort. Nikah was a simple affair. There was no proposal party, there was no engagement party, and there was no wedding party. There were no invitations that were sent out. There was no booking any halls, nothing. Right? So all these things are innovations that we have brought in. It's got nothing to do with deen. Imagine if Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself didn't even know that the sahabi is getting married. So how simple a thing it was. And when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, what is this? I got married. I got married. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doesn't ask him, you got married. You didn't tell me. You didn't even invite me. You were here Fajr time, you couldn't even tell me today is your nikah. Nothing. It was a normal thing. People get married, they carry on. So that's the first thing, right? You see, there is also no reason to go and get one high profile, who is high profiled in our brain, in our mind. Now we need to get one high profile Maulana. Any person can perform the nikah. In fact, if we really go to the basics, a Maulana is not even required. A Maulana is not even required. If you really get down to the basics, if the girl's father is here, right, or the girl's wali, whoever is the girl's wali, is here, and there are few witnesses, two witnesses, right, the groom is here, and the father tells this groom that, look, I offer my daughter's hand in marriage to you. And the groom says, I accept. Nikah is concluded. It's done. Wedding is over. Right? To read the khutbah of nikah, as I explained to you, this is sunnah. If the khutbah of nikah was not recited, no problem. The nikah is still done. Right? Number one. Number two, to stipulate mehr. This is important. But if mehr was not stipulated, then to the nikah is done. Now what mehr will we give this girl? Mehr e misal. Right? That normally her sisters, her aunties, etc., when they got married, what mehr do they normally receive? She'll get the same mehr. Right? So then that's all that there is in a nikah. Ijab, qubul. That's all. Right? That's all that there is in a nikah. Everything else that we have brought is all innovations. You have to buy a wedding ring, you have to buy one jewelry set, you have to do, all these things are innovations. It's got nothing to do with deen. Wedding ring and all that is a Christian custom. You have the ring with the diamond engagement time, then you have the wedding band and all that, all Christian customs. It's got nothing to do with Islam. Nothing to do with deen e Islam. Right? Now, why is nikah such a simple affair? Think about it. Why is nikah such a simple affair? Must remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala understands the need of the human being. Right? And in order to fulfill this need of the human being, the needs, what insan needs, Allah Pak has made those things easily accessible and available. In fact, they are free of charge, right? Most of it is free of charge. Some of it comes with a little bit of expense or a little bit of mehnat. Right? For example, oxygen. Oxygen is something that everybody requires. Allah Pak has made it freely available. Right? You don't have to pay for oxygen. You breathe. It's free. Everybody can have it. And that is the most vital thing for survival. The most vital thing for a person's survival is oxygen. So Allah Pak has kept it totally free. If the wealthy, the conglomerates of the world could only capture all the oxygen and then charge people, they would have done it. You see, they work on supply and demand. Now there's a big demand for oxygen, so put the price up. They work like that. Allah Pak's system is different. Allah Pak loves us. Allah Pak doesn't want to make money out of us. Allah Pak loves us. So what we need, He gives us for free. Right? Oxygen, we need it for free. The second thing that we need is water. That too, Allah Pak gave it for free. It's free of charge. If we opt to pay for water, that's our problem. But Allah Pak has kept it free. Does Allah Pak charge us, pay so much, then I'll send the rainwater down? No, Allah Pak sends the rainwater down for free. If we not putting tanks and collecting the water and all that, that's our fault, our problem. Right? If we not going, if we opt to rather work and pay for the money to come out of the tap. But if we are not working, we wake up in the morning, go to the river, fetch the water, come, or go to the well, take out some water, come, because we've got no other work, no shop to go to. So we do all these things, right? So the water is free of charge. Allah Pak has kept it free of charge. Right? We opt to pay for it, that's our problem. Third thing we require is clothing for our bodies. Right? We require clothing for our bodies. Now here again, clothing in itself is very cheap. Clothing in itself is very cheap. However, if we are choosing to wear a certain type of a clothing and that is expensive, then that's our problem. Otherwise, clothing in itself is extremely cheap. You can go and buy material for 10 rand a meter. You can go and buy material for 10 rand a meter, 15 rand a meter. Sahaba radiallahu anhum, two pieces of cloth. One they wrap it around the bottom half of the body, other one they wrap it in top half of the body, finish, story over. Like ihram. Some of them would stitch it a little bit, make like sleeves and make some buttons and whatever. They would take thorns and weave it through, and that was the button. So if you really come down to basics, clothing too is very cheap. And if we say, okay, we can't live that type of a life, right? You see, if you go and you buy a decent kurta fabric, right? A decent kurta fabric you purchase, and you go and sew 5 kurtas for yourself, right? The whole exercise will cost you maybe 2,000 rand. Right? Buy a decent fabric and you go and sew 5 kurtas for yourself. The whole exercise will cost you about 2,000 rand. And you set for the next 18 months. For the next 18 months you fine. Right? You can wear those kurtas for the next 18 months and carry on. As opposed to going to buy one designer label jeans, one designer label top. You just buy the same color fabric, you're sewing the same thing, 5 kurtas you'll sew, it'll last you 18 months, 2 years, at least 18 months it'll pull you. Right? So clothing is not expensive. It's all this other fancy things that we want to wear that becomes expensive. Right? The fourth thing we require is food. So food also, anywhere you go, Allah Pak has given us soil. And food grows from the soil. If we not planting, we not making use of that, our problem. If we take our yard and we want to rather put a water feature and put a paving and put some swings there and all, that's our problem. And then we're going and spending money to buy food, that's our fault, right? But if we want, we can turn that yard of ours into sustainable living, you know. We can plant things there and we can live off it, right? Then if you take, a person has got animals, now in the time of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and even up to now in certain areas, they have fields for grazing. Right? There's so much of land everywhere. The grass just gets long, municipality gives you a fine. Why your grass gone so long? Whereas if people had animals, animals would eat the grass. You got your animals, he got his animals, you put them out for grazing. They eat, they come back in the evening, you got milk in the udders. Then one of their females will be expecting. You'll get another sheep, another kid goat, another calf, carries on like that. You got your milk supply, you don't have to worry about clover, doesn't have to exist anymore. Right? You got your milk supply, you're growing your wheat, you're growing your mealies, you're growing your barley, you're grinding it yourself, you're making your bread. Right? Power is free. It's fire, right? Understand what I'm getting to, what I'm trying to explain to you. I'm not saying we can live that life because we have become spoiled, right? But if a person really comes down to the basics, what does he need? He lives off the land, finish. He's feeling like eating fish, go catch the fish and come. There's water anyway, plenty of water, there's fish in the water. Go catch the fish, come home, eat it, no problem. Right? You're not working, so you can go hunting. You shoot one rabbit and come, you got meat. You shoot one buck and come, you got venison. Go catch one guinea fowl, you got poultry to eat. There's so many things Allah Pak has kept free of charge. But the Western capitalist system enslaves us. There's so many people out there, they stand on the side of the road, they sit looking for a job. They rather spend the same time plowing the land somewhere. At least in a couple of weeks' time, they'll have one cabbage coming out, one beetroot coming out, they've got food to eat, right? But they'll sit in the corner, hey, no job, no job, then resort to crime. So, like that, a need of man. Alhamdulillah. A need of man is to get married. To get married is a need of man. Right? If this need is not fulfilled, man is going to turn to sin. It's going to turn to guna. So this is why Allah Ta'ala has kept nikah to be an extremely simple affair in our deen. Very, very simple affair. It's an easy thing. A person proposes, the girl accepts. There's no formalities, you don't have to go and find this one, invite, nothing. You make the nikah, story is over. Whatever the person can afford as meher, provided it is not below the minimum meher, he pays that, right? He has to give some meher, and if he cannot afford to give it cash, he can pay it in installments also. That too is permissible. So it has been made extremely simple. In Islam, there is no stipulation that if you got a wife, you have to give her so much money every month. You have to feed her certain types of food every month. No. However, or whatever your means are, that is how you will take care of your wife. If you got means to eat mealies, you'll feed your wife mealies. If you got means to eat beans, you'll feed your wife beans. And if you got means to eat biryani, you'll feed your wife biryani. Finish. Simple. So we have made life difficult. Whether it comes to our homes, if you take in time of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they wanted to build a house, right? And even up to recent, even now, our African people that want to build houses, indigenous people, they can just take sand, they make mud bricks, and they build a house. They take some thicker branches, not logs now, and they make what you call trusses, and then they take hay, straw, and they make their roof. It's all free of charge, it's there. It's free. To Allah Pak is given it, free of charge. Because Allah Pak didn't want that our whole worry and concern now must be about earning a living and how we're going to survive and what we're going to wear and what we're going to... All that we have brought. Now, today you go to buy one shoe for a baby. The child is only going to wear that shoe a couple months. Then the foot is gone big. You're paying 200 rand for a shoe, for a baby. It's foolish. It's silly. It's foolish. Sahaba radiallahu anhu made the shoes. Now we stopped using our hands. The only thing we have become is money-making machines. We have just become money-making machines. and then paisa paying, tamasha dek. That's all. Anything you want, take out money, take out money, take out money. So what is the mindset? Hey, I got to earn. I got to earn. Whereas if you really think about it, if you go back to primitive times, they were much better off. They were much, much better off. They were living off the land. Living off whatever Allah Ta'ala has got. You didn't really need money. You didn't really need money. So nikah also, because it's a need. Nikah is a need. So Allah Pak has kept it very, very simple. Very, very simple to get married. There's no big stories about engagements and invitation cards and all the whole tutti that goes with it. Right? So this is up to the nikah. Up to the nikah. We have discussed what happens in today's times. And all of this is wrong. All of this is wrong. So now, even if a person has got wealth in today's times, he's got money, he's got wealth, but it doesn't mean he must go and do all these things. It doesn't mean he must go and do these things just because he got money. Right? These things are un-Islamic. We must do without it. It mustn't be a part of our lives. So we have come up to the nikah. Right? Now we will take it further now, inshallah, when we come back. After the nikah, what happens in today's times? And how was it supposed to be? Right? Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.